This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network from MetLife Stadium. The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network is all here. OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt from the Fish Tank. Yours truly, Travis Wingfield, the host of the Drive Time Podcast. And guys, it was a successful MetLife takeover. The Dolphins come to New York, take over the stadium, and take their third straight win. Juice, initial thoughts on the 24-17 victory for Miami.
Hey, man, just win, baby, right? Just get a win. That's find a way to get one on the road, especially within the division and playing against the Jets, man. It's always tough, man. Slow start for both teams. We started picking it up a little bit defensively, obviously, and then get some scores late, man. But, you know, it's always tough, Travis, when you go on the road, man. And, you know, both neither team are playing very well this year. The Dolphins are starting to catch their stride a little bit. And it's always like a situation where you start reading your own press clippings, you beat the Texans, you know, you beat Baltimore, and you face the Jets. You look for a letdown sometimes, and guys did not do that today. Went out there and handled business like you're supposed to on the road, get yourself a little 7-point win, and get back on the plane and go home.
You got to love seeing the Dolphins' offense close that game out there late with 25 rushing yards, a couple of big passes from Tua to Smythe, and then Tua again to Jalen Waddle for a huge conversion to keep the chains moving. A nice 6-and-change-minute drive there for the Dolphins to kind of put things out of reach there, Seth, at the end of that game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you want to see in games that, you know, you think you should have won coming into it,
sure.
Right? Look, here's the bottom line, guys. We're on a 3-game winning streak now. You know, this has been a rough season. 7 straight losses was tough to swallow for everybody. 50-something days between wins.
Yeah.
But now that's 3 in a row, and it feels pretty good, and you're coming home for 3 more that you get to play in front of your home crowd. So, and Juice, you know this as well as anybody. Anytime you get to go to New York,
yes,
and beat the stinking Jets in their stadium, yeah, and then fly home as winners, you feel pretty good regardless of what it looked like on film.
Especially when you get to be up on stage with Solo D rapping the Fish Tank theme song. I don't know if anybody out there saw that. But
maybe the highlight of the week.
I mean, the MetLife takeover does not disappoint. If you're a Dolphins fan, if you have not been out here for this, rectify that next season. It's incredible. Igor and Michelle, the folks over at Slattery's, a fantastic weekend of just aqua and orange painting the town here in NYC. Fantastic to see. And also fantastic to get that victory out of the way and get back on that plane like Seth mentioned there. But, Juice, back to the defense here real quick. We saw them kind of come out hot, and the Jets moved the ball pretty well, but I thought coming off of what they did last week to Lamar Jackson, I thought the Jets actually adjusted pretty well to get those quick outs and just kind of take that free space in the passing game, and they really didn't surrender or succumb to any of the pressure the Dolphins put on this game.
Yeah, one thing they knew about Joe Flacco is he's not going to squeeze the air out of that ball. You know, we had some free blitzers get there and, you know, didn't get home in time with the quick out game that they had. And it's just well played. You know, you think about some of the young guys that might have played, Mike White or Zach Wilson, you know, those guys might have held on to a little bit the ball a little bit longer. We might have gotten there and created more turnovers than the one that we got when Joe did hold on to it a little bit long and turn into that interception, fumble recovery, whatever it was by Christian Wilkins. So, yeah, they know for a fact that, you know, it's a good game plan for them to give Joe Flacco the opportunities, considering all the heat we put on these last couple quarterbacks. Tyrod Taylor, who's a mobile quarterback, we beat him up a little bit. We contained Lamar Jackson last week. So what you do is you put a guy in there that's going to just get back there and get the ball off in time, and that's what happened. But you know what? Our guys were able to make tackles most of the time, and they made enough tackles.
I'm glad you mentioned the Christian Wilkins. It did go down as a fumble recovery because he was hit before the ball was moving forward, so Brandon Jones gets a forced fumble. And I don't know if you guys saw the picture on the Dolphins' Twitter, but there's a great still shot of Christian Wilkins pinning the thing to his helmet. I retweeted it and called it David Tyree Part 2. We're actually in New York this time around. Just a little bit of fun there. I wasn't trying to compare anything to the Super Bowl.
And he went and fumbled it, too, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. Yeah.
We had two fumble recoveries on that play, both of them real big.
Javon Holland gets to pad the stats there as well. But speaking of stats, we talk about Joe Flacco. He played pretty well, 24
yes,
for 39, 291, two touchdowns, no picks, and just the two sacks. But, guys, so did that Dolphins quarterback after an early mistake. 27 for 33 for Tua Tagovailoa, 273 passing yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. And he winds up 11 for 12, Seth, for 146 yards and two touchdowns in that second half of the game.
Well, in the second half, that's the most important part of the game, right? Yes. I mean, what you do in the first half is great, and certainly if you go out, blow folks out, and you get out to a big lead, that's not our style of play.
Nope.
You got to score points in the second quarter and start blowing people out in the first half. But, yeah, that's especially the fourth quarter, that's the money quarter. That's where your quarterbacks really kind of build their legacies. And Tua's played some pretty good fourth quarters here of late.
Juice, what did you think of his kind of transition from that first half where, to me, it looked a little bit rattled in the pocket, kind of speeding things up? And that early interception, obviously, I think impacted him a little bit. But what did you see as far as what he was in the first half compared to how he came out in that second
half? Yeah, again, like last week it took him a little while to settle in because, he came in off the bench. And then he finally got.
He had all the reps this week.
He had all the reps this week. He had an extra couple days as well, to go out there. He looked just a little bit nervous, in my opinion. It seemed like that was what I felt.
That's what I thought.
Too. Going into this game, it's a little bit nervous. Wasn't as precise as we talked about, Big Seth. We're watching the game in the stands. We're used to him being more accurate than that. And then I think he did settle in. He settled down. He hung in there. I tell you what, he made some throws today, but the best throw we talked about was the one he threw to Waddle on the sideline.
Oh, man,
he stood in the pocket, got it right over the defender on the sideline, man.
Big boy throw.
Great throw right there, man. And Seth called it a big boy throw as it was. Seeing a couple guys down the sideline today, keeping his eyes down the field. So he settled in really well, Travis, man. And it's nice to see, when you go on the road, everybody's a little bit nervous, especially a young quarterback. And for him to go into this environment, even though, it's nice takeover by a lot of Dolphins out there, still a road game within the division, and settle down and then make some plays that, end up leading us to victory. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, temperature was a little bit lower than what he likes, too, I think. I seem to think, too, it definitely likes that warm weather. I don't know if we got to bring an extra heating pad or something for him out here to get him warmed up earlier on, but he did settle in. I agree.
That's funny you mentioned that because we're out in the parking lot with our beanies and our gloves and our scarves and our
They're
jackets,
killing us on
our
Twitter.
North faces. We were all freezing our butts off. I got a lot of smack talk out in that parking
lot.
Well,
you should because you sat in the press box the entire game, Travis. We sat out there and grinded it with the real fans.
Right,
I lost count of how many times this weekend OJ McDuffie called me soft, and, from coming from him, the toughest player in the Miami Dolphins over the last 20, 30 years.
Kind of legitimizes it, doesn't it?
It kind of hurt my soul a little bit, but he's not wrong, so I'm not going to get on him for it.
Pacific Northwest guy, man.
I know.
I mean, come on, bro.
2 years in South Florida, thinned your blood out real quick, fellas. But back to, you mentioned Jalen Waddle on that catch. I mean, that was a fantastic throw. I thought the best of the day for Tua. But Waddle's just that dude, man. He creates that separation. He makes those tough contested catches. And for my money, you guys, he winds up with 8 catches on 9 targets for 65 yards. I thought he had that one play on the sideline where he was a half step away from going 70 for a touchdown. That would have blown up his stat line, but he winds up with a big day. But the biggest day comes from Mr. Mac Hollins. 2 catches,
Return
72 yards, a long touchdown, 65 yards, the longest in the career of Tagovailoa. Juice, what did you see on that deep touchdown pass to Mac Hollins?
Man, oh, man, Tua buying a little more time again in that situation. A lot of times, guys forget about guys like Mac Hollins, and then next thing you know, he's run down the sideline. When you put so much emphasis on guarding Waddle or guarding Gesicki, Mac Hollins is the guy that usually clears out, and they kind of fell asleep a little bit. And for Mac to get it, and Seth and I were like, oh, man, it's underthrown. But Mac to get it and still be able to turn it on and beat the guy to the pylon, very impressive, man. But more importantly, it was impressive to see Tua keeping his eyes down the field and being able to locate.
100%.
A lot of guys would just drop their eyes and check it down or dump it off. But the fact that he was able to keep his eyes down the field and hit him with a strike no matter what, I'm happy, Travis, that it wasn't thrown out of bounds, wasn't overthrown, wasn't way underthrown. Get it to him. Don't worry about where they had to slow down a little bit, and that's what Tua did, and Mac was able to get it in the end zone.
That was kind of the play that sparked him, right, Seth?
100% it was, and by the way, that's exactly where we were sitting, so that was great. For those who are listening here, Travis was here in quite a press box here at MetLife. Huge, and makes sense, the media contingency that they have here in New York. But OJ, myself, DJ Preesh, we were out there with the fans sitting about 20 rows up, and right in that end zone. And so we saw the whole thing develop. Mac was like, it looked like he was running right towards OJ.
Yeah.
And Tua kept it going. And, you know, he, as Drew said, kept his eyes downfield, which was great to see. You know, you always use that term, the pocket was a little muddy.
Yep.
The pocket was a little muddy. He stepped in it and he saw Mac. And he let it go. And, you know, I don't even hate him for it being a little underthrown, Drew, because of the conditions. And he got it down there.
But can we talk real quick about the fact of what just happened? Because you got – OJ, you play with him, so it's not a big deal to you. Seth, you worked for him for a long time. But Jason Taylor walking out of the booth right here and dapping me up as I'm doing a Dolphins postgame show after beating the Jets.
Yeah.
Kind of on cloud nine, guys.
He tried to take my hat off, man. So he thought I was a quarterback for a second.
Oh, I got a blindside hit from behind, too. I thought he was trying to knock my pen out of my hand.
You're not
with the
first one that's done that, too.
No, especially not out here.
No, not at all. So the Dolphins do take this one 24-17. And, you know, again, back to that kind of game-clinching drive there towards the end, 25 rushing yards. It took them 9 carries to get it, but it was consistent, and that was kind of the case throughout the course of the day. We're going to have game balls coming up later on, and I've got a couple guys I'm thinking about right now, but man, the way Myles Gaskin played today, the toughness he showed on that touchdown reception late in the game, that was juice. He knew he was running in trouble there, and he did not mind going in there at all for that big score.
Man, he's so tough to be such a small guy. You know, he's not a small guy compared to most human beings, but for a running back in this league, you run up there with those 300-pounders, man. I mean, man, is he tough. And then you know what? He doesn't mind running between the tackles, obviously, because we do that a lot with him, you know, which is shocking considering his size.
And they tee off on him, too.
They do. He took some shots.
I mean, it's no
today.
Secret he's that not, he's getting that ball on first down.
You know what? The fact that he suits up, knock on wood, every game, man. He suits up every game considering the hits that he takes, man. Duke Johnson with some nice runs towards the end there, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, mixing it up pretty well. But, Miles, man. Miles is that dude that – you know, I question all the time, why do we keep running between the tackles, man? Because the guy, because he can handle it, you know? Now we're starting to see him bust a little bit more bigger runs later in games and later in drives. You know, maybe there is something to it where they're just trying to, you know, wear him down a little bit. And our offensive line didn't play well at the beginning, but seemed like they found a way at the end to move the ball for us.
They definitely did. I do a segment on Drive Time once in a while. It's actually, I haven't done it in a few weeks, but it's the play before the play. And before the 65-yard touchdown pass to Mac Hollins, they're backed up 2nd and 14, and Gaskin gets a run off left tackle. Liam Eichenberg seals that, and Gaskin hits a 20-yard run to create a chance for that play.
Huge play.
And then they go a 9-yard run to Gaskin, and then boom, 65 yards to Mac Hollins. So the running game was big in this game. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about game balls, drive of the game, plenty more to come here. We'll hear from Florida and Tua Tagovailoa postgame. Again, the final score from MetLife Stadium, Dolphins 24, Jets 17. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. And Seth, we usually start the show off with juice, so I'll come to you on the second segment here kicking this thing off, because this has been on your radar pretty much since week one. Opening drive, go right down the field. Tua 6 for 6, 61 yards. Waddle takes it around the outside for a touchdown rush. And then the offense and kind of the team goes a little bit flat for about a quarter, and we pick it back up in the second half. But the same script again, man, that lull in the second quarter. What do you think? What do you come down on this? Because this has been a script all year long. Is there a way to kind of recharge this thing and kind of boot it up in that second quarter and not have this lull?
I'm going to pick up what Juice normally says. What are you asking us? We should be asking them. It is the craziest thing. Whatever they're doing to script that first drive, however many plays they're putting together, Juice, they're doing their homework, right? This Dolphins coaching, the offensive coaching staff is doing a phenomenal job. Go look at what their first drives are all season long, even through the 7-game losing streak, okay? Maybe they should script like 2 or 3 drives. I think that they should have a few of them in their back pockets, because something's happening in that second quarter, and it's the craziest stuff. How is Jason Sanders bouncing balls off the goalpost every other game right before the half? I don't know what it is.
That was 32 yards, too.
But if they could find a way to run the clock, do something to – or as I said, turn it into a hockey game where we go 3 periods instead of 4 quarters, because the second quarter has been a thorn in our side the entire season. But let's give it up for 2 things. One, this is not a very good Jets football team, so thank goodness for that. But also the defense, you know, the defense really, I think, kept the team in the game in the first half, because the offense couldn't get things going. You know, the Jets were driving down there early. As you talked about it earlier with the Christian Wilkins play. But golly, we sent that pressure, and as well as Flacco handled it for the majority of the day, he didn't handle it on that play, and neither did the Jets offensive line, because Jones got there. Huge hit on Flacco. there were guys laying on there. It looked like a battlefield at the end of that play. Guys were laying everywhere, and I don't mean to make fun of anybody who got hurt.
Right.
But what a great play by Jones, coming downhill, playing fast, aggressive, as he always does. Defense forces a turnover there. So kudos to the defense in that second quarter to keep this team in the game. And as you said, the offense, and Tua in particular, really got things going in this second half.
Yeah, I love the aggressive style they play with there defensively. Offensively might be a different story here, and we'll talk to Juice about that. But to just keep the pressure on there with that Brandon Jones strip sack that really kind of changed the course of that game early. And then you saw throughout the rest of the game and against Baltimore last week, they are not going to let off the gas when it comes to the defensive pressure. I thought it really helped them out. But Juice, we look at the five games that Tua has started this year for the Dolphins. Remove the Bills game in week two because he didn't play much in that one. But Patriots, Jaguars, Falcons, and Jets games. Opening drive touchdowns against the Bills, it didn't happen. But four out of the five games that he started besides that Buffalo game, they go opening drive touchdowns. And then kind of fall off a little bit there, but I wanted to go to you here because we talk about the aggressiveness on offense, or on defense rather. Kind of a different story on the offense.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, you know, not very many shots taken again. I thought the offensive line played better today. I thought they played a lot better. I thought we had some more opportunities to take some shots. But the way it was looking, and I was watching a lot of what they were doing defensively, you know, the Jets came out a lot of cover too, daring us to run the football, you know, making us go up there and see if we can pound it out, you know, play after play after play with Myles Gaskin in the middle. In the beginning, it wasn't working. I mean, after that touchdown, we had, what, interception, punt, missed field goal at the half, before the half, and those are just, you know, wasted opportunities right there to go down there and make plays. So, yeah, I do feel like, you know, that – you know, they go down and they get things started. But, man, has it become boring at times, whereas when you can't run and when the team's playing a cover two shell on you a lot of times, you know, we got to figure that out because it's going to happen more and more often. When you see teams have success doing certain things, you know, it's a copycat league. We'll see what happens again next week.
Yeah, and not just boring, Juice, but frustrating. Frustrating as hell, quite frankly. You know, you talked about wasted opportunities. What about wasted plays? The drive where you have the missed field goal there, the 32-yarder that's missed. But what about that drive? We talked about the 1 yard, the throw out of bounds for 1 yard, the screenplay to Gaskin.
Yeah.
And he gets out of bounds. He has to fight his way. Thank goodness he gets out of bounds, or you're probably using a timeout there because the clock is running. I mean, you want to talk about clock management. I don't know. You can have that conversation. But what gets me is with 8 seconds left, you decide to run one more play. You throw the ball short. You're already in range for a 32-yard field goal, which is supposed to be a chip shot. Obviously, it didn't work out. Maybe we needed Mac to pull that one down. But why aren't you trying to throw it in the end zone, Juice? Like, and what did you see there? You said everybody was covered. But, why are you not trying to throw that one last pass into the end zone?
Just to set the stage, 1:06 left in the half there. All three timeouts at the minus 45-yard line. So you really had time, Juice, to make it work.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time. Timeout. We had plenty of time to make it work. Seemed like we started going a little backwards at times. But, you know, the only time we did was we had that one penalty, I believe it was, and we lost a few yards. You know, but at the same time, man, we just don't – We're content dropping it off in front of defenders, man, instead of putting some heat on guys, you know, behind coverage, you know, in the end zone, verticals. What bothers me more than anything, Big Seth and Travis, is that I see Mike Gesicki come out of game a lot of times in those situations, too.
Right.
Like, I mean, even if you're not going to him, it's going to take a couple guys to take him out of those, you know, for them to defend him. You know, then you got the one-on-ones, and no, he's out of the game. He's on the sideline. So, yeah, it's a frustrating situation in general that, you know, we get down there – play selection, you know, personnel, a lot of different things are just not what you expect. And the bottom line is we don't like it because it's not working. You know what I mean? So they got to figure this out.
I think what you look at with the way the offense is rolling right now and kind of I think one of the big storylines of the second half of the season, or I don't think, I know, and I think you guys would agree with me, that trying to find out what exactly Tua Tagovailoa is going into year number
for
three
sure.
is almost as important as the rest of the games the rest of the way, because you finding out your franchise quarterback is or isn't the solution is obviously a key. But the way I look at this game was there is a very direct grouping of plays and style and system, Juice, that these guys can go to that he has success with, and we saw it a few times. Like, even on those third and short plays, their RPO look where he fakes the handoff, doesn't throw it, looks for the first window, doesn't throw it, and then goes back to the third window and gets the first down that way. Kind of the conflict that RPO game puts on them. Some of the more rolling pockets we saw, I thought, today were great. The pistol, getting him on the move and throwing those kind of lateral throws, I thought that's a very successful grouping, and maybe it's not enough to kind of call him a franchise quarterback around just that group, but just in his second year, 23 years old, that's a good sign of one little thing you can kind of put together going forward and hope the rest kind of comes along in the rest of his game?
Yeah, I think so. Man, that's what he's comfortable running. You know, everything's pretty much designed by around what they're comfortable with him throwing and what he's comfortable running. So, you know, we might say whatever we want to say as fans or as doing postgame or, you know, or doing whatever we do with the team, but at the same time, though, they're doing what they feel is he does best and whatever they're comfortable calling as well. I expect one of these crossing routes to come out the back end one time. I expect Waddle to catch one of those shallow 5-yard crossers and then end up being a 70-yard run and score for him, you know. We see other quarterbacks get those beautiful long touchdown passes on short drops, you know, so why shouldn't we get one? And that's coming. But like you said, though, I like the fact that we had time to go through progressions. Usually, you know, we got to look one way and get ready to either run or throw it away, or he's on the run somewhere. The guys did a nice job there. Give him a little bit more time. You know, now we just got to hit some of those throws, hit some of those big throws. So, I mean, Tua's coming around, man, you know, and we've got guys that have to help around him. And we got to be able to run the football. And like you said, our bread's still buttering our defense. They found a way to kind of neutralize a little bit, but they did well enough today to get us off the field when we needed them to.
And the one thing that really kind of gets me is, and this is maybe more of a social media thing, which I think we've kind of come to learn that social media is not real, right, guys? We saw real-life Dolphins fans this weekend, and what you see on Twitter and what you hear from people at Slattery's or here at the MetLife Takeover are two completely different things. So,
right, so one of them's not real.
Yeah, exactly. So I tend to believe the real life is more real life. Crazy me, I know. But just in looking at kind of Twitter, you know, there's all these excuses about, well, he didn't make – even the touchdown throw, too far underthrown. Like, what are we talking about?
Right.
It's a 65-yard touchdown. If you can't have fun with that, then maybe this game's not for you. So I don't understand that. And then also, you also can't have it both ways where, you know, the offensive line, it is what it is. It hasn't been good this year. And they're trying to get better, trying to put things together and find some continuity. And you hope those guys can develop and get better into the rest of the season and year three for a lot of those young offensive linemen. But if the offensive line's not good and the running game's not cranking and you've got a bunch of injured receivers half the time, then something has to be making this offense be able to go for 24 points. And I'm not saying it's all on Tua, but he is overcoming a lot, in my opinion, in certain situations. He's got his own downsides. The interception was terrible, an absolutely terrible throw. But to me, Juice, you talk about how he's coming along. I continue to see more and more things every week that makes me think that the progression's there, and if you try to cut bait on that in just year two, you're making a mistake.
Well, I think, yeah, he's growing right in front of our eyes, man. He really is. And, we talked about it before in the postgame and probably all week long. We talked about, you know, when you go for these long drives, dink and dunks, there's so many opportunities for something bad to happen. You know, that we do trust Tua with the ball. One bad throw today, you know, and that would turn into an interception. But for the most part, man, it was pretty safe in terms of his handling of the football, and that's good. From our angle, sometimes we're like, oh, I thought he's about to hurt somebody. And you look at the big screen or whatever, and you see there's a lot more room separation from our receiver or tight end from a DB. But he's really safe with the ball. When the ball starts to sail a little bit, is when we have problems, man. Or when I'm always scared is when it gets deflected at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, man.
Those never seem to work out very well for us either, man. But I tell you, he's put a few good games together here. If that continues, man, and then we start continue to build around what he does best, man, I think we've got a guy that we can work with and that can win games for us. And, you know, go down there and put that last drive together. Let's talk about, you talked about it a little bit, Big Seth, you know, but bottom line is fourth quarter.
Right.
What do you do at the end of a game, man? And that was
third down and fourth quarter.
He managed the hell out of that fourth quarter.
He did.
You know what I mean? And that's all that's important right there, man. Got some big first downs there, a couple short throws, hitting the right guy, moving the chains. You know, that was huge, man, especially at the end to put that, you know, whatever, 6-minute offense together right there. So back to what you're saying, Travis. We're seeing the progression. We're seeing him getting better. He's getting a lot more comfortable. You know, they got a lucky break today in terms of that weather, you know. But I'll tell you what, man, we do see something coming from Tua Tagovailoa.
Not according to the Dolphins Podcast Network at the MetLife Takeover, we did not have great weather. It was a little bit chilly out there. But
that was nothing right there. Run all day in that, dog.
I enjoyed it, but we were prepared for it,
yeah,
for sure.
I
took off two layers since we got up here in the booth.
My favorite part was getting off the plane, and Juice walks out and says, oh, you can run in this. This is good stuff. And then he goes and puts his jacket on and his earmuffs, getting all cozy up outside in this frigid New York temperatures. But we're going to talk about plenty more here. I want to talk to you guys about some officiating because I was very concerned by a few of these calls that happened today. I want to know your take on that vantage point on the muffed punt that was negated. Oh. I thought that was questionable. We'll come back and talk about that. Hear from Brian Flores, hear from Tua Tagovailoa, and plenty more. Get your new Volvo with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volvo Cars at Coconut Creek or online at GuntherVolvoCars.net. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from MetLife Stadium, Dolphins 24, Jets 17. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Give your game day menu the perfect kick of spice with Old El Paso. Try recipes the whole team will love, like slow cooker cheesy chicken enchilada bean dip. I know you like that one, Juice.
Sounds
air fryer beef taquitos or carnitas mini taco bowls. Visit oldelpaso.com for the recipes, these recipes, and more game day favorites. Old El Paso taco together. And I want to go back to your guys' vantage point, because I think you mentioned that the Mac Hollins touchdown occurred right in front of you. So that must have meant that the muff punt call occurred in front of you
yes,
as well.
Did.
So this is getting beyond crazy to me, because we've had how many of these situations this year? The Jacksonville one off the fingertip where you can see his finger go back, doesn't get overturned. The missed one off the Falcons player's foot, that didn't hit him, but it was so close that you kind of added to this list here. There was another one a couple weeks ago that I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember there was something that happened on a muff punt. And then today, you do get a muff punt. It might have been.
Yeah,
it was. It was the Cole Beasley one. And then this game, you do get the muff punt, you do get the recovery. And no one contacted him. Juice, isn't it contact, or is it the halo? Why is that a penalty?
Juice says there's no halo anymore. Now, they were up in his grill.
They were definitely
in his face.
But he actually kind of split him when he fell with the ball. You know what I mean? I thought it was a bad call. I think the referee that made the call thought there was contact, even though there wasn't.
There was no contact.
Yeah, because there's definitely the halo that's been going. You can be right up in somebody's face as much as you want, as long as you don't, obviously contact them. So I don't know, man. I was saying the same thing, We don't get a lot of those calls. We never do it. I don't want to bitch and moan about it, but it seems like that's the norm for us. But that was
when you win
right
and you talk about it being bad calls, you're not bitching and moaning.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's when you lose, then you're just crying.
Yeah, think about that play, though. We would get that. We recover that muff, and we're
game changer.
In the red zone, ready to go in and score. So that's a tough deal, man. So, and I saw a few calls that were a little bit tough, but that one there is one of the toughest ones because of what it would have done in the change of field position for us right there.
Now that we had a couple of those pick plays called against us, Juice, but you felt those were good calls.
I thought they were solid. I thought Mike's call first, Gesicki, I thought that it looked like he was really blocked. He's got to be a better actor than that. he's got to be a better back. He actually had both hands on the guy in front of him that gave us that little bit of an edge. And then Waddle was definitely like blocking downfield on a nice play down the field. So our pick plays were where they were, and their pick plays didn't get called at all. So
and the one to Gesicki, the thing got me is that we didn't even get the first. We wouldn't have gotten the first down
still
anyway.
Short.
I think we're
going
to cheat Waddle to win.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Right.
I'm glad you mentioned the blocking downfield, because on the long one to Albert Wilson, Durham Smythe was engaged in a block. And I'm wondering, Juice, is that something where, because it looked like Tua came off of the read that he was supposed to make, which was
right.
The flat. It was layers, right? They had a underneath, a mid, and an over-the-top route. And the over-the-top route became open, and Tua, you actually watch him check the flat like, oh, no, that's covered. I'm going to go up top. And Durham's in that mid-level, and he's blocking. Is there a certain way that he can know I can't make contact on this guy because Tua still has the football, or is he just blocking because he thinks it's already out in the flat?
Yeah, it shouldn't. He shouldn't be blocking at all if he's in the pattern. He really shouldn't. He's got to be still looking to get open somehow. If the ball hasn't been thrown yet, he really needs to try to find a window for Tua in that situation. But guys, blocking down, unless it's a screen play call, and sometimes when we do run screens, we'll have guys on the pattern. Unless it's a screen play called, then you should never be blocking downfield, especially in that second level. First level, maybe, because you're thinking, you got an opportunity right there to free a quarterback. But when you're second tier, definitely not third tier, you definitely shouldn't be blocking. So I don't get it sometimes. And we had issues on offense a couple times, with stuff like that. We lined up. We had lineup problems again.
Yes,
a couple times, man. So we still got some things to work out.
What is going on with that, guys?
Yeah.
Alignment assignment, right? Like that's
it's still.
Alignment assignment.
Most,
Seth, you're listening most to those
of the time.
Those
it,
I love
most
the
of the time it involves Waddle, which is what I worry about more than anything.
It seems to happen. Last week, it seemed better.
Oh, it was great last week.
On a short week.
It was great last week, yeah.
And you got 10 days, and I saw it again. There was a play where they were getting down close to the play clock there, and they had – or there was a running clock at the end of the half, and they had guys switching sides of the formation, and then you go in motion.
It's unbelievable.
You're eating up valuable time.
But
there.
Tua did take command. So, because the last time we saw it, it was Mike Gesicki who was trying to get everybody straight away.
Did he?
So,
tell me about it. I didn't see it.
On that particular – on that play that you're talking about, because I think he moved Matt Collins from the right hash to the far left side because he wanted Waddle, and he hit Waddle with the slant. Is that right, Juice?
That's right.
So – Tua knew who we wanted to go to, and I think he told everybody else who we wanted to go to, but then again, he said that in the press conference this week. Everybody knows right. on third down who we're going to. So he's not, you know, Bernie Kosar told us this. It's going to be on our Fish Tank podcast this Tuesday. Sometimes you got to line up and say, I know you watched film, and you know what I'm going to do, and I'm telling you what I'm going to do, and I'm still going to do it. And that was one of those plays. But you're right. Why can't we just come out of the – why can't we break the huddle and get to where we're supposed to be?
Bro, it's amazing. It really is amazing. What I did see today, though, we did a lot of shift, motion again, set, another guy in motion. So they're trying to progress this whole offense, especially with some of the young guys.
Is that a lot for young guys to
start? It is a lot. It is a lot because who knows what the verbiage is on that. But sometimes if you're starting on the left side, you're going to most to the right side, you're going to reset to the left. There's a lot going on, especially for young guys.
And so maybe in fairness to Waddle, is it fair to say, because I've heard you say it, we heard the coaching staff say it. I know on Drive Time this week I heard the receivers coach talk about they've put a lot on Waddle's plate. They line him up in a lot of different spots. They ask him to do a lot of different things. Is it possible sometimes that you're going to get a mental bust from a young guy?
Absolutely. Absolutely you are. And it's going to take some time. Because think about it, too, man. We add plays every single week.
Yep, right. Yep.
Every time we play a team, we're adding plays. Yeah. Taking something out that didn't work last week, but it's always new plays. So
like that halfback dive to Miles Gaskin. Yeah. I hadn't seen that one all year.
That's a new one. It's a new play. But bottom line is, yeah, you got to.
It worked late, though.
It's a lot of film study and a lot of meetings to make sure you're in the right place at the right time.
I'll never forget the not Hard Knocks, but the other show, the All or Nothing on Amazon Prime. The very first year of it, they had the Arizona Cardinals, the year they went to the NFC Championship game and got beat. And Bruce Arians was talking about a rookie running back they had, David Johnson. And he had a phenomenal rookie season in the second year, and he was slowly building to it. They let him return kicks, and he took a couple of kickoffs back for a touchdown and had some big plays in a week two game. And they showed a clip of him talking to a coach from the other side, and he said, by about Thanksgiving, we're going to make him the bell cow. We don't want to get his head too big yet, something like that. And so I think about that a lot in relation to this Dolphins rookie class, because they are playing a lot, but we saw Jalen Phillips in the preseason dropping into coverage a lot, right? And that was a big part of his game.
Yep.
We saw Javon Holland kind of take a back seat to Jason McCourty early in the season, and then Jalen Waddle, we've seen him kind of expand what he's doing, playing more on the outside, like Josh Grizzard spoke about last week, the Dolphins receivers coach. So as you get close to Thanksgiving here, Juice, and I think you talked about this on one of the bus rides this weekend, how you were only returning kicks your first year, right? For the most part. So when you talk about a young player kind of getting into the league and getting into the game, is there something to making it simple on you early on versus putting more on your plate, and does that just kind of grow and expand each week?
Yeah, exactly, man. It's tough. One thing I did for myself was, you know, I had a little time. I had a little time to learn every position, you know, all five wide receiver positions. I was able to have time to learn them, and then towards the end of the season, I worked in on third down a little bit more. At the end, I got some, you know, first down reps where I wasn't just on the inside. So it is. They're just going to start stacking stuff on top of it. You know, and you can build from all the other stuff that we did at the beginning of the season, from lineup situations to whatever the motion might be, to him even playing multiple positions. All these guys should play every single position at wide receiver. There's no reason for everybody not to know every single position. You meet enough, you watch enough film, you do enough things where you should be able to go out there and play every single position. So we see that Waddle's starting to get more opportunities. He's getting more, having more responsibility, more on his plate. And he's a go-to guy. If you can move him around, it makes it even more impossible to guard him. And that's what you want to make happen. You know, you move him in motion, you shift him, you do different things. Who's guarding him? Are you doubling him here? Are you doubling Mike? That's the whole point of all that stuff. It's a little confusion and to find the best mismatch. And I think we're starting to get there a little bit.
Definitely are. We hopefully in a few weeks here getting some reinforcements as we kind of get the offense. We've been talking about it all year. Let's see if they can find a rhythm and get some games together and start scoring some serious points and really kind of play complementary style football with that defense. You want to jump in, Seth?
Well, no, I was going to say, I mean, they were averaging 18 points a game coming into this, and they scored 24. So on the surface, we wanted them to come out and blow out the Jets because of how, look, you know, I'm not going to mince words here. The Jets have been terrible on defense all year, historically bad.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to see more. But they were better than they have been. The Dolphins were better than what they have been this year. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but the reality is they didn't come out and give you 13 points and struggle to win the game. You know, they put 24 up on the board. We want to score more than that, but as you said, it is progress. It is a road win. And it's three in a row, folks. Enjoy
three
that.
In
three in a row.
That is called a winning streak if you haven't seen Major League before. It has happened before, and it happened here again. And just to kind of put a bookend on that note, you know, I like to make these excuses and say I'm not making excuses, but I'm going to do it again anyways. You talk about 24 points, 32-yard missed field goal. That's usually money in the bank, so that's 27 if you get that. And then you can add four more points if you just punch that last play into the end zone there on that
third
and short.
Here we go. Starting to sound like Tom Oliver.
Just these few mistakes that if they can just find a way to get them correct.
but for those two 80-yard runs, we were fierce against them.
Yeah. That's a good time to get out. Get your new Volvo with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volvo Cars, Delray Beach, or online at GuntherVolvo.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from MetLife Stadium, Dolphins 24, Jets 17. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. The Dolphins are back in action, and this season you can be back in the stands to experience it all live. Get verified tickets from Ticketmaster, the official marketplace of the NFL, and you will not miss a single epic moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered, because selling your seats securely with Ticketmaster is as easy as a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Before we go to head coach Brian Flores right here real quick, there's a topic that Seth is dying to talk about, one of his favorite players in the game. What do you got, Seth?
Well, listen, you were talking earlier about the punting game and some calls that didn't go our way. Can we talk about Michael Pilardi for a second? I mean,
just for a second, yes.
Clearly his best game is a Dolphin, right? I mean, four kicks, 191 yards, 47.8 average. He got one inside the 20, Juice, but I think he hung a lot of them up there. They had to be fair catches. And quite frankly, as you said, we should have had another turnover.
Right.
So we've been tough on Pilardi. You know, we through our text messages, a little bit on air, we've been tough on Pilardi. He came out here ready to play. That's a South Florida guy. He knows what Jet Week means.
I love it. I love that. That has been
potential
your fish tank
ball,
punting
guy.
Talk. It's a segment we're going to run here, I think, from now on. Let's go ahead and quit messing around and get to head coach Brian Flores, who is live at the podium right now.
It's fair to get a third straight win and a road win in the division.
You know, I think it's always good to win. Our guys played hard for 60 minutes. We knew it would be a tough game in a tough environment against a tough team. That's what we got. We were able to make enough plays or a few more plays than they made.
Brian, this is another game where you guys were able to generate those chunk plays. We've asked you a lot in the run and the pass game. But what do you think has worked today and has worked in recent weeks?
I think it's truly a series of things. Good preparation. In meetings and walkthrough and practice, execution and practice, and then that, you know, gives you a chance to execute in the game. So we're seeing some of that. And we made enough today. We'll just keep preparing the way we've been preparing and try to string good days together.
Miles said that you guys had a good week of practice. You've sort of piggybacked on that, obviously, your head coach. What does a good week of practice look like?
Good energy, good preparation. You know, when I ask questions in a meeting, guys, I have the answers. They have a good understanding of what we're trying to do, what our opponent's strengths and weaknesses are. So when asked, they can answer, and then it looks like they understand, the things that we talked about in meetings, in practice. So that's kind of generally, that's kind of the thinking.
What led first to the sloppiness of the first half and then the way the team played in the second half?
I think it always comes down to execution. So our operation, getting in and out of the huddle, offensively, defensively, in the kicking game, communication. And look, you got to give credit to the Jets. I mean, they created some situations that forced some communication issues for us. I thought they did a nice job and had a nice game plan. So, credit to them. They played hard. They made some plays for sure, and we just made a few more plays than they did.
We've seen like what we call like trick plays, where it's some of the reverses, the attempted pass with Albert Wilson. I mean, has there been in the coaching room more concerted effort to say like, hey, let's be more creative, let's try to get defenses kind of catch them off guard?
I think we always want to be creative, really, in all three phases, we got to practice them, you got to feel good about them. About running them from practice, and that's we felt good about. Some of the plays we ran today, we ran them, had some success. Some of them we didn't really get executed the right way. I'm thinking about the one in the low red, but I think again we did enough. We always want to be creative and try to run plays that are going to get us positive plays, and some of those kind of trick plays. Allow us the opportunity to do that.
How did you feel about the execution at the end of the half? I'm sure you wanted to come away with points and must have been disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, we had an opportunity to kick a field goal. Jason missed it, but, you know, Jason came right back and, you know, made one at the end when we needed it. So,
with Tuna's performance, obviously we saw a 65-yard touchdown pass. He threw the interception early. Where would you assess where he is right now after dealing with all that he's dealt with this season and finally returning to the starter?
I think he's getting better every time he steps out on the field. I think he made a lot of good decisions today. I thought we moved the ball, you know, pretty efficiently, especially in the second half. Those drives in the second half are big drives, and I think we answered their score with a score, and then we were able to go up two scores with the next drive. So. And, you know, Tua's leading the way from that standpoint. So I think he's playing well. I think we need to, or he played well today. And he made enough. Obviously, there's some throws he wishes he had back, I'm sure. Some decisions he wishes he had back. I mean, I think we all feel that way. That's how everybody feels after a game. But he made enough plays for us to win.
Brian, I know you're from. Oh, go ahead,
Al. I'm sorry. I have to ask you about your shirt. It seems like you're paying tribute today.
Yeah, my uncle's a fireman. Or he was a fireman. He's retired now. He was very instrumental in my life. And he gave me this shirt. You know, his work for Ladder 118. They were one of the first firehouses to go in 9/11. And you know, no one came out of there. So he's been very instrumental. He introduced me to football. So he gave me the shirt. And I figured it would be a good time to wear it.
Exactly what I was
going to
ask.
Final question. I'll beat you to it.
I'm just polite.
On that drive where you guys held possession for 6 minutes and drove the length of the field and Gaskin scored, how important is it to actually use your four-minute offense and eat up that much possession of the clock?
I think at the end of the game, anytime, at the end of the game, you know, with the lead, time is we always want to do a great job of kind of milking the clock, using as much time as possible. You know, when you're on the other side of it, you want to conserve as much time as possible. So, you know, that fourth quarter and that time of possession in the fourth quarter and really the second half is very important, something we talk about. We were able to execute it today. I thought we ran the ball, I thought we, you know, picked up some third downs, some short yardage plays. Everyone contributed to that. It was Miles, Duke Johnson, Waddle, Durham. I think, you know, we got contributions from a lot of different guys, and we were able to, you know, string good plays together. And that's, you know, that's what we talked about, just stringing good plays together. Not having one good, one bad. That doesn't get it done in this league. Got to string them together. We were able to do that and, you know, punch it in at the end, and those are the winning points.
Yeah, I know it's right after the game. Do you have any updates on Jamal Perry and Brent Scarlett? Obviously, both were ruled out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't want to. We got to run some tests. I think, you know, before we, I don't want to give an initial diagnosis and, you know, and come back and tell you it was different tomorrow. So, but yeah, both guys are ruled out. We'll you know, go through the. Gamut of tests, x-rays, MRIs, etc., and try to, you know, hopefully it's not that bad, but, you know, we'll have more information after we run those tests.
So there's head coach Brian Flores. We'll come back and react to that. We'll hear from quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. We'll do the drive of the game, game balls, and plenty, plenty more coming your way on the fifth quarter postgame show. Get your new Volvo with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volvo Cars, Coconut Creek, or online at GuntherVolvoCars.net. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from MetLife, 24-17. Miami takes their third straight. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Cipresso and Council Oak, and much, much more. even better the second time you do it, only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Guys, we heard from head coach Brian Flores to close out that last segment, and Big Seth's takeaway here. We always got to come back, come to you, Seth, for the press conference
follow-up.
What are your thoughts there on Brian Flores?
I absolutely love him. You know, people are a little rough on Coach Flores here on Twitter talking about it wasn't an exciting press conference. And I know that the Miami Dolphins beat doesn't particularly get excited about some of those answers. I feel like his press conference was a little bit like today's game. You know, he didn't start real fast. It wasn't particularly strong early on. But I thought he finished incredibly. The story about his uncle and the firefighter was fantastic. And I thought he gave some interesting things there. But look, here's the bottom line, guys. We saw the most open and honest and introspective Brian Flores that we've ever seen in 3 years during that 7-game losing streak. So do you want, like, exciting press conferences and losing streaks?
Nope.
Or do you want to win games and get short answers that are coach speak?
That one.
You know, make that decision right there. But what I really – what stood out to me, all kidding – well, I don't say I'm kidding, but getting to what people want to hear, I like that when he said, hey, we answered their score with a score. Because, look, you're not going to shut out every team. And, you know, even this defense, as good as they've been playing the last few weeks, they're not going to shut out every team. But when they do give up a score, you want your offense to go right back down and erase that. And that's what, you know, he said it, coach said it, that team did it today, and I think it was the difference of the game.
Yeah, and I think not only did they go down and answer, man, it was like a, you know, such a big-time drive
man.
That did it as well, you know. And we've seen it happen on our end. Our offense might score, and then the defense comes right back. But it was nice to see our offense respond. And not only that, but put a hell of a drive together, man. It kept that defense, the Jet defense, on the field for a long time, get a lot of our guys into the, you know, the whole play calling in that situation and go down there and find a way to get in the end zone, man. It's one of those things, again, Travis, you talk about a long drive after that, you know, I get worried the longer it goes, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But they, you know, they kept staying in good position. I mean, they got behind the chains a little bit early in, I think, in that drive, but otherwise it was, you know, second and six, second and seven, second and two, third and one, second and four, third and four, you know, first and five, second and those are great situations. You know, in order to keep a drive alive and trying to go from distance. When you start looking at second and 10 or more, third and 10 or more, then we're in trouble. But they stayed ahead of the chains and marched right down the field. And more importantly, they answered.
They did answer. Had a few direct snaps there.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
a few too many for my liking, but they did answer at the end.
They sure did. In about 13, 14 minutes of game clock in those final two drives, they ate up to give them the 33 minutes and 35 second advantage over the Jets, 26 minutes, 25 seconds time of possession. But you just kind of look at the overall stats from this game. It was pretty much close across the board. Dolphins 8 for 14 on third down, Jets 7 for 14, 388 yards for Miami, 380 for the Jets, 20 first downs for Miami, 18 to the Jets. So it was close, but Miami narrowly edged them in all these statistics. And, you know, that kind of goes back to your point, Seth, about the complementary style of football. But one thing I wanted to go to, Juice, here in regards to what Brian Flores talked about in his press conference was, you know, a reporter, a great question, I thought. I don't know who it was, but it was a great question, who mentioned that Myles Gaskin had said they
might
had
have been Omar.
Maybe. It's possible. You know, nothing's impossible. But it was a good week of practice is what Myles Gaskin talked about, and then Brian Flores said it. So the reporter said, you know, you guys both mentioned that, like, what makes a good week of practice? And he said that the guys had good answers to the questions when they asked him. And it reminded me about one of my favorite stories about Brian Flores when he first got hired here was that, you know, he took the situational football and just kind of being on top of guys in the mental aspect of practice and walkthroughs and meetings where he'll walk by and say, hey, it's 3rd and 2 on the plus 42-yard line, minute 35 to go, and what do you do in the situation, and guys have to come up with answers on the spot. What do you think about that? Like, as a player, did that help you kind of stay sharp, or the coach was on top of it like that?
Yeah, you know, I've never really had it that way. I had my position coach always quiz. We got so many quizzes, and we got quizzes the night before a game, but in meetings, not necessarily. But, I mean, it's important because, honestly, you know, I'd like for the second and third string guys to hear these answers, get these answers right, too, because you never know when they're going to be called into the game. But it's good that guys are not sleeping in meetings, they're paying attention to everything that's going on, you know, they're getting the checks correct. Even on defense, I saw maybe one time I saw where there might have been a little confusion, and I think Flacco went the other way with it. But at the same time, though, with all we do defensively, with all the motion that comes out there, you see guys in the correct position where they're supposed to be, and they look comfortable. They don't look like they're scattered out there. So, yeah, I think it's great that, you know, Coach Flo, especially probably on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know how much he might do it on the offensive side, but he definitely knows what's going on the defensive side. If he sees a guy in a motion, in a situation, and go trips over here, ask a young Javon Holland, like, what do you think? What do you have right here if we check to this? What are you going to check to with my free safety right here? What are you going to put us in defensively here? And guys getting the right answer, man, that prep is – the mental prep is a lot of times bigger than the physical prep, especially this late in the season. So looks like guys are starting to get it mentally, and they're able to go out there and do it in practice. And then, again, you know, we're seeing it happen on Sundays. Remember, though, we've heard him have good practice before. And it didn't look like it, you know, on Sunday. And he was I had him more frustrated than anything.
Right.
You know, so the fact that they had a good week of practice to go out there and execute, a little bit of a lull, but finish the game strong, I mean, that's what you're looking for as a head ball coach, you know, and Coach Flo is starting to get the results that he's seeing in practice on game day.
And it's a big reason for why they value players that are smart players and value, you know, the intelligence they have on the football field so much. We kind of saw it come into play here today in this game. Real quick before we get out, I just saw the Washington State, Washington spread next week. We are favorites against the Huskies next week. Let's go. Apple Cup, 4,000 days since our last victory. We're going to get it this time around.
4,000 days.
4,000 days, 7 years, Juice. Let's pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Faithful.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
We're still going to hear from Tua Tagovailoa. We're going to get to the drive of the game, give out some game balls. Plenty more to come here on the fifth quarter post-game show. Miami Dolphins fans, are you ready for game day? With Cheez-It, you can choose your perfect game day snack, made with 100% real cheese for a deliciously cheesy snack experience. So stock up on all your favorite flavors, and we'll see you back here at your favorite game. Again, the final score from MetLife, Dolphins 24, Jets 17. You're listening to the fifth quarter post-game show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.